Hello, everybody. Welcome to episode 14 of The Gentleman of Elegant Leisure. And I'm Dave, along with my usual crew, my posse, Fred and Jason.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Cowpokes.
Get a rope.
And today's cocktails are
It's all about me.
It's all about Fred, because we're making the Partridge cocktail, which happens to be Fred's last name.
That's right.
And a special punch that he's proprietary, it's trademarked.
My cocktail, so it is a Partridge cocktail.
That's okay.
Because it's, by me,
yeah,
a Partridge.
Is there no end to this ego?
I know.
I don't know. I'm interested to find out.
Well, I guess we will, in terms of drinks. So what are we making first?
Well, I figured we would do the Partridge first, only to as a way to introduce us to Fred Partridge.
Yes.
Yeah. The man.
The man. The drink.
The drink. The legend.
The legend.
And we found the Partridge cocktail in the Oscar Hamo. Wacky book.
Yes. You want to see a picture of that book? It's on our Instagram account, Cocktail Podcast. That's our handle.
Find yourself an Oscar Hamo cocktail book. They're hard to find, although Jason has two.
Yeah. Yes. You have the 62 and the 72 versions, right?
I'm trying to get the 82 and the 92, but I think he's dead.
Oh, poor Oscar. He had a good life. Look, he got books.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't get to make a book.
And he was friends
with... buck.
And he was friends with Edward G. Robinson.
Yeah.
That's pretty...
Cyril Clemens.
Yeah.
And the president of the International Bar Managers Association.
Yes, of course.
I think he was the only member as well.
Yeah.
Their palatial offices at 252 East 61st Street in New York, New York.
We were supposed to go by there and see if anybody was home.
Yeah, we didn't.
No.
And it's funny, it says at New York 21, New York. I wonder what that meant in the day. New York 21. Do they have a ward system?
I don't know.
It could be.
Send in your answers.
All you New Yorkers out there.
Yes.
Let us know.
If somebody said 252 East 61st Street, New York 21, New York.
Probably the postal zone.
Yeah, postal zone.
Pre-zip.
Well, there's pre-zip. Is there no zip?
Well, no, there's no zip. No.
Well, then it's pre-zip.
No zip, there's nothing. It says on the logo here, Fun to Fun, 1945. I think he's trying to pass that off as Latin. Let me just see if it's in the other book. And so I was leafing through the book. I came across the Partridge cocktail. Oh, yeah, no, it became 10021. It's pre-zip.
Wow, there you go.
Wow.
Awesome.
252 East 61st. I had been just leafing through the book, and I came across the Partridge cocktail, but that led us to the Pacific cocktail. But when we did the Pacific cocktail, which had cream in it, and we did the two different versions, one with Southern Comfort, one with brandy,
right?
But Fred had said, well, we should do, or maybe I said, won't blame it on
probably
Fred.
Me. I was something I would say. Well, why are we doing the Partridge cocktail? I complained.
You did say that. You're right. You did say that. So we're going to do the Partridge cocktail, and then, as you say, one that Fred has created. So it's all partridges all night long.
Yeah.
As we sneak up on the Christmas season.
Oh.
But yours is relatively convoluted, whereas Oscar Hamo's is relatively easy. So I will go first.
Thank you.
I'll tell you what is in it.
Oh, that's the best part.
In the Partridge cocktail, there is no bird.
No.
It's relatively foul-free. It has four dashes of triple sec, which we're going to eyeball. Mm. What do you think four dashes? Maybe a quarter ounce, a half an ounce?
Yeah.
Leave it up to you, bartender.
It's quarter ounce.
But then it says a half ounce of sweet vermouth, implying that four dashes would be less than half an ounce.
I would.
I'm going to go quarter ounce. You know?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, we'll do it. Sure. And then 2 ounces of rye. And for the rye today, we're using the Canadian Club Chairman Select 100% rye.
Yeah.
Ooh, we're not going to let any other...
Not 80%.
No, no 60, additives.
No 51% rye.
Exactly. No grains sneaking in there that are unwelcome in any other way.
No wheat.
No wheat. Corn. Millet.
Yeah. Millet free.
And it's a stirred up one here. So let me stir and we'll go for this here.
Yeah.
The Partridge cocktail. I'm kind of intrigued by it.
Yeah. Not to be confused with the Partridge in a Pear Tree cocktail. That's a different cocktail Well, it's got pear vodka.
Why aren't we doing that one?
Well, maybe we'll do that one the next show. How many partridge cocktails can there possibly be?
There's probably two.
Two. Yep. But this is the more basic
Oscar. So then we've promised that we're going to do some coin cocktails.
Yes, the coin toss cocktail, but that.
And then also the different variations on the Dedrick cocktails.
That's right. Now, I did some research on the coin toss cocktail.
Yes?
As served at Death & Company.
Oh.
Which we didn't get to. And it's a coin toss as to what's going to be in it. So, you never know.
It's all based on fate, basically.
It is.
Well, good.
I should have called it the fate cocktail. Where is the ounces on here? Oh, there it is. Holy cow. All right.
Well, yeah, whole ounces of rye.
Because we...
there you go.
We give you the actual recipe, but we doubled it for sharing around the old campfire here. So that just looks like a whole lot of booze.
Yeah. While we're watching, I'm going to mention something about the... If you're listening to these in order... Unless you're just cherry picking. But if you're listening to them in order, you would have heard us do the Papa Doble in the last time we met. And I got to tell you, we did it blenderized. And I should have paid attention to the notes. It says, only you do this in a blender if it's over 100 degrees Fahrenheit and over 80% humidity. And we didn't. I tell you, and I did it as a stirred drink, and boy, that is some drink when it's stirred. So I would recommend that you don't blenderize your daiquiris, because you're just not going to get the flavors.
It's funny, there's not a lot of cocktails that have a barometer. It's also some of the equipment that you require.
Yeah.
An altimeter.
don't serve over 2,500 feet. it was very, very specific instructions that I should have paid more attention to.
And this isn't a shaker, it's a stir, so we don't get the same sound effect. But you can shake along at home if you like.
Sure. So rye, sweet red vermouth, a couple dashes of triple sec.
Yeah, and that's it.
That's it.
It's very simple. You can do it in the car. That's how easy it is.
Oh, yeah. So that's like what is that like? Manhattan-y?
That's probably Manhattan-y. Yeah. Actually, Dave said it was similar to the Algonquin.
Yeah, it's down the list a little. There was another one called... Oh, no, I forgot what it was called. There were several other cocktails that were in a similar
thing. Well, they all do tend to blend together after a while.
Yeah.
And they all share a lot of ingredients in common, so...
All right, gentlemen.
Okay.
I'm giving you one of those
two. Oh, you're going to shake it anyway.
Just to stir it around.
Oh, look at that.
The nice thing about a stirred cocktail is it comes out clear, as clear can be.
Oh, look at that.
But I don't think there's any shake in the fact that this is probably going to be a pretty boozy beverage, considering that that's all it's got in it. The ice will have melted a little bit to dilute, but...
Yeah, mine has other stuff in it.
Yes, yours is...
It's bordering on tiki. It's got so much juice in it. Oh, look at that. You know, and that's...
That's a pretty drink.
And that's a pretty drink, and it's not even a full... This is only...
It almost looks like mead.
Oh!
It's got that sort of... even not only in color, but also in the viscosity, I think.
Right.
But I bet you it's not going to taste anything.
A little bit sherry-like in color.
Yeah. Yes, very sherry. 4 dashes triple sec, 1/2 ounce of sweet vermouth, 2 ounces of rye, stirred with ice and strain. No garnish on it.
No.
That's the, All right. Cheers, boys.
Mm. Oh, cheers. Oh, sorry, I just...
You just got right in there.
I haven't had a drink in hours.
We'll put the... can't reach that far.
No.
Because there's not much through the nose, but you taste it. It's pretty, it's...
That's quite pleasant.
Yeah. I like that.
Yeah.
Tastes like partridge.
It does a little bit.
Mm.
Yeah. I mean, it's certainly... It's got the boozy hit of the rye, I would say. Yeah. You know that there's booze in it.
Oh, yeah. It's quite boozy.
But the rye is softened, I think, with that triple sec and the vermouth, of course.
Yeah, it's funny. I didn't think there'd be enough triple sec in there, but it does...
You get the little hint of orange from the triple sec. Yeah. And then the sweet vermouth takes all the edges off the rye.
Yeah.
But like I said, there's no denying that it's boozy.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But it's got I don't want to say it's oily, but it's got one of those coating kind of mouth things. I like that.
Yeah. No, that's good. That's,
yeah, let's
that's
not pleasant. Do yours.
No, let's just stick with this one.
No.
That's nice. It's, it's sort of got that, I'm going to say, sort of the almost a woody taste from the rye. No, that's good. I've tried that rye before. I've got a bottle at home, and it works out pretty good. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'd be interested to try it with something like a Rittenhouse and see if it makes any difference.
Well, I'll be right back.
Okay.
a bottle of your finest rye. We don't have it. It's Canada.
Yep.
Oh. Yeah, no, it's quite balanced. You get the woodiness of the rye, you get the sweetness from the vermouth, you get the little flavor of orange, and then way at the end, you get that little bitterness again from the vermouth.
Always with red vermouth, or the sweet red vermouth, is I'm always a little wary, because if you tip your hand a little bit too much, that stuff just walks all over whatever you got.
Right, like your white sofa.
Oh dear! It's
comedy gold. That was the one that got it, ladies and gentlemen.
If it causes indigestion, you know you've hit the mark.
I've had the martinis that are made with like a half an ounce of that, and it's not the martini that you know and love from North America.
Oh right, by making a martini with gin, but using the sweet vermouth.
Yeah, and in Europe they tend to use like a half an ounce. 3/4 ounce.
Yeah, no, it's just not what you expect.
Yeah, no, so if you're expecting something else, you're not getting that.
It was interesting, when I bought this bottle...
Of?
Actually, it wasn't this bottle, it was the first time I had this bottle.
Please tell them what the bottle is.
Oh.
Because they're not seeing this vision.
I forgot this was being taped. God. What did I say?
Bottle of...
Of the Canadian Club 100% Rye.
Yeah.
It was in a gift set that I got last year for Christmas.
Oh, nice.
And
somebody loves you very much.
That's right. And it had a recipe in it for, what the hell did they call it?
Now you're like me, your memory's going.
Because it was based around this, but I mean, it's just rye, even though it's 100% rye. Mm-hmm. But anyway, it had dry vermouth in it. So it was like making a martini, but you made it with this, and it had Kensington bitters instead of Angostura bitters. But it was still good. It was their version of a Manhattan or something. They called it the Kensington Manhattan or the Canadian Club 100% Rye Manhattan. I forget.
Trademark.
But it was okay, even with the dry vermouth. But this is neat. This is fall and Christmas.
Oh, it is.
I'm not going to say that anymore, by the way.
Yeah.
Every time I listen to one of these, I always say, that's like Christmas.
Yeah, it's not.
No.
Yeah.
This is like late November.
Yeah. I think I just drink a lot at Christmas, and so...
So you just associate drinking with Christmas.
Yeah. And you also get a lot of boozy gifts.
But lately, you have been drinking a lot all year round, so...
I know, but it always seems like Christmas.
That's the alcohol. Oh. Makes it all seem like Christmas.
Yeah. I don't know. So I'm going to stop saying that. Fall. I'm going to move into fall.
Yeah. Now, and what surprises me with this is how sweet it is, considering how little triple sec and vermouth are actually in it. It seems like it's a sweet drink. I don't think it is a sweet drink, because wait till you try the next one.
Right.
That's a sweet drink.
And that is in Oscar Hamo's book, but I don't think he necessarily invented it. Dave found a version that's now on the internet with slightly different proportions, but it would be neat if he had created it, and we could say this is is his drinking stuff. But
if you go to shakeitdrinkit.com, they have a partridge cocktail, which is 1 ounce of white vermouth, 1 ounce of triple sec. Did I say sex?
Oops. You did.
Oops.
I told you something being taped.
Triple sex.
Triple sex.
And 2.5 ounces of whiskey.
Huh.
Yeah, so it's got 2.5 ounces.
Right.
And then you're just saying whiskey, so you could do anything.
And you have to do it in the right order. It's got to be the vermouth, triple sec, and whiskey.
Sure. Yeah.
Oh, and here's the drink that's also similar to the Partridge cocktail, the El Morocco, which is at 71% like. A partridge?
Oh, 71% similar. That's
similar.
Strange.
I don't know how they... It's got 1.5 ounces of white vermouth, 1.5 ounces of Campari. And 1.5 ounces of gin.
That's so, not so anything big. Like that.
No. Well, I guess the vermouth.
Yeah, it's like white vermouth. It's got really white vermouth in common.
Yeah. Didn't even make it to the 3/4 mark. So yeah, I guess 71. There you go.
71%.
Yeah.
All right.
But I'm pleasantly surprised by this. Yeah. I didn't know what I was going to...
That's a nice, simple drink, and it's but it tastes like you've made a lot... It's like the cocktail equivalent of the Rice Krispie Square. It seems like you've made a lot of effort.
Yeah.
But you really haven't.
No, all I did was melt marshmallows.
Mix it with rye.
Mix it with rye. So, yeah, do you want to... do you need to be over here?
Maybe, because then if I spill...
Right.
I don't know how that ends, actually. But I'll move over there just to, you take the leavens.
Yeah, because I enjoyed the beginnings, and so I'm also going to enjoy the leavens of this partridge.
Yeah.
All right.
And I can make this at home.
Yeah, you know? No, I could.
It's far too easy to make. I'd almost like to shake it just to chill it a bit more. I would maybe even float a little ice cube in it just because I like stuff.
Oh, yeah. No, you like to float things.
I like to float. Whatever floats your boat. All right, everybody, move.
Everybody move over one step.
And remind us again the name of this drink, Fred.
The Colonel's Comfort.
So now, how did you come up with the name, the Colonel's Comfort?
I looked at the ingredients.
And there was fried chicken in it.
Fried chicken in it, and so I went with that. Now, because it's got Southern Comfort in it, and that's and I just like Colonel's. It to me, because it reminds me of the old South for no apparent reason other than we had it as a punch at our wedding.
Oh!
Lo, these many years ago. So this is, I've actually had a plastic pail of this stuff.
I don't remember that. I remember your wedding, but I don't remember a plastic pail.
It was a plastic pail of punch. Everything was in it except for the sparkling wine. And I'd mix it up ahead of time and gave it to the bartenders, and so they ladled it out.
Hmm.
I'll tell you the ingredients.
Please do.
So basically, I think when we made the punch, I had 2 whole bottles of Grand Marnier went into this pail. My dad just about had a bird. He was shaking his fist and yelling at me.
Really?
Pretty much.
Wow. Because it seemed like such a waste?
It seems like such a waste.
Right.
But so the cocktail as it now stands, and I'm going to tweak it, and I encourage everybody else to. So it's 1 ounce of Southern Comfort, 1 ounce of I like the Cuban rum, the Havana Club, the light rum, the Añejo 3 Años.
What did you call Dave?
I don't.
He always swearing at me.
It's
in
just
Spanish.
A little bit left. This is just the. I didn't bring the other bottle.
No, good idea.
I had the backup bottle.
Sure.
Everybody has a backup bottle.
Stunt bottle.
Yep. 1/2 ounce of Grand Marnier, 2 ounces of orange juice, 1/2 ounce of lemon juice, 1/2 ounce of grenadine.
And you know what he's done this time, Dave?
What's that,
Jason? He's actually squeezed orange juice fresh. He's not using bottled or canned orange juice.
No, it you know,
peaches he is.
It's a,
yeah. It's well, a, it's out of season.
As it turns out,
peaches are
out of season. The first when I developed this back as a drink, as a cocktail, they were in season, so I had fresh peach, and I thought, oh, this will be nice.
Mm-hmm.
But when I tried this just recently, I just opened the cupboard, and then I went to the store today. And it's right. Peaches don't last that long. So
yeah, or you might be able to find like a flavorless peach that came from.
That's true. Now, if you live in the southern climates, maybe you've got all your peaches. I don't know.
Oh, sure.
The ever-bearing peach tree, maybe. Did I finish this off? No, I think I got as far as the a muddled peach slice and 2 ounces of sparkling wine. So I've got, of course, Grand Marnier. What kind of a grenadine have I got here? Sonoma Syrup Company. Ooh. And I haven't even opened it yet, so I'm going to open that up.
What's the label there for it?
Yeah.
Oh, grenadine. Yes, very nice.
We've used a lot of grenadines over the years, haven't we?
A few different ones, yeah. I had one from our good friends, the Tiki Guys. Like he keeps changing the name of it, so I don't...
Yes. I think it's still Trader Tiki's.
Well, it was Trader Tiki, but now it's a B.G. Reynolds.
Oh, sorry, it is. It's B.G. Reynolds.
That's what I'm saying.
Oh, God. And then they've changed the names of some of their products, too, right? Like the Don's Mix isn't Don's Mix anymore. Something else. You got to go to the website, but where it is.
Yeah, we should do more tiki drinks as we get closer to Christmas, because nothing says Christmas like tiki. and Halikaleki Makamari. Anyway.
I have an eggnog recipe that I'm working on. And you should tell that to your dad, because he'll, he'll
have a bird.
Sure, he'll have a bird, or he'll shit himself.
Can you say that on radio?
Yeah, no, we have an explicit rating.
Do we?
Yeah, you know, feel free to let the expletives fly. It's a drinking show. What do you think we're trying to appeal to the kids?
Gull darn it. Okay, so I'm muddling my peaches up here.
So Fred, just tell us, what is muddling?
Muddling is basically
the amateurs out there.
You're macerating whatever it is you're putting in there. It's usually...
And what does macerating mean?
Oh, right. Maybe I should... Grinding and smashing up.
Ah,
I like that too.
Yeah.
Excellent. So sort of the caveman, the only caveman element of the cocktail thing.
That's right.
Is you take a wooden stick and you smash.
Yeah, you can either buy a muddler
for
anywhere between $4 and $30. Depending on those. They're all about the same, but it depends on the store you're in.
Yes.
Usually they're wood. I've seen some plastic ones. And, so you, so it's, usually it's mint leaves, sometimes basil with the...
your mojitos and your...
Yeah, and so, and fruit slices and stuff like that. So it, you want to mash it up and get the real flavor out of it.
And in some cases you will strain it afterwards, but in this case you're going to muddle, you're leaving your fruit in there.
Just leave it in there,
a little bit of texture.
Because I don't really care that much. And it's fruit. It's good for you. It's got fiber. It'll keep you regular. Ish.
Yeah.
So what I'm going to do, that's right, I'm going to switch over to here, because I'm going to mix them all in my mixing glass here, so I'm going to put in some ice.
So you had this as a punch at your wedding. Did you have it as a punch anywhere else since your wedding?
I had it as a punch a couple times before that, and that's what made me think, oh, this would be good at the wedding.
Right.
And then I have had it at our Boxing Day party, but I've sort of gotten lazy and gone with the cheaper punch since then. But
right.
But as you can all attest, but
ever clear and orange juice,
Everclear
ladies and
juice,
gentlemen,
the usual. So right. I'm going to
bottle of off-brand lemon lime soda.
Hey, they wouldn't sell it if it wasn't good.
Yes.
Okay, so I want I'm going to start with my lemon juice here, which is somewhere down around the bottom. So I need a 1/2 ounce of lemon juice. Does this keep changing?
It does. It's,
it's like making cocktails at Hogwarts. Everybody keeps... The kids love that reference. They'll think it's great.
That's our target market.
Yeah.
Yep. Cocktails at Hogwarts. That's your J.K. Rowling's next $1 billion project.
Oh, yeah. So there's the juices. There's the... what have I got in there? 2 ounces of fresh squeezed orange juice, and then 1/2 ounce of lemon. I've got the peach slice. I'm going to throw in, I'll get to the good stuff, so we'll throw in the Havana Club, which, temporarily, at least for you Americans, is going to be available until that door slams shut again.
That's right. Get your Cuban goods. Well, they don't have access to the Cuban goods yet.
I guess not.
No.
So they may never happen.
No. Bring it back from Canada and don't mention it.
Oh, yeah. No, we're good. We're okay with that. So there we go. 2 ounces. Oh, sorry. 1 ounce. 1 ounce of Havana Club. 1 ounce of Southern Comfort. Glug, glug, glug.
Second appearance in a row. Southern Comfort.
Yeah, Southern Comfort. Right, big shout out for Southern Comfort.
Yeah, I remember reading in somebody's cocktail book that there's no good cocktails with Southern Comfort in them.
Right.
Yeah, you said that last
year. They're stupid.
They
don't know what they're talking about.
Well, like I say, that in the 72 Trader Vic's book, he's got a zillion of them, and now Oscar Hamo, in that second in the 72 book, it's like Southern Comfort just worked its way into everybody's thing a lot.
I guess it just, yum yum. Southern Comfort was real big in the late 60s. So we've added the Southern Comfort, we've got the Cuban rum. I'm adding the Grand Marnier now to that, and the grenadine. Where's my grenadine gone? Oh, it's over here. Dave's trying to follow me with the video camera. Is that an Aeroflex? What are you using again?
It's an Aeroflex. think it was made about 1947.
Yeah, no, it's rare. I
mean, it's rare. I don't know how you get 35 that. Millimeter. Yeah. This is costing me a fortune to do this show.
Yeah, just you watching know? The dailies alone is an experience.
Then I gotta send it to Technicolor. Yeah. They gotta handle it. I gotta get the sound synced.
To LA.
Yeah.
I go to Glenn Sound.
Remember when you had that Circarama set?
Yeah.
And that was ridiculous.
That was a mistake. That was... Okay, I'm going to try to pour this in here.
Mm. Wow.
Don't make too much of a mess.
No, it's like Christmas. But for a different reason.
This one, this guy gets a little more ice. Now,
yeah.
The capper.
Oh, literally.
I don't even know if I even mentioned this.
No, I don't
think you did.
2 ounces of sparkling wine.
Ooh. My eye!
Sorry about that.
I always wear safety goggles, kids.
Yeah, I guess I should measure it. Should I?
Well,
I guess I should.
I guess. I mean, you're going to dole it out amongst each one. Is that... So if you were to make this as a punch, is this done at... This is done at the end.
Yeah, so the... Yeah, when you're doing a punch...
And now we're doing it as a cocktail. It's almost like a float.
Yeah.
In a way.
I'm going to gently stir it just to mix it up a little bit.
Okay.
Brilliant.
Oops. Oh, dear. That's remember right. that? Remember Awakenings?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Fred, I don't know. He could be going back into dormant stage.
Yes. Call Oliver Sacks.
He's dead.
I think these are...
Call Oliver Sacks Jr.
I'll pass this one to you, Jason.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you very much.
It's somewhere in between... yeah, I don't know. The ingredients are... I should stand over here.
Yeah. Here, I'll move your other partridge cocktail over to you.
This,
Definitely fruitier.
Cheers in here.
Mm-hmm. See how that goes?
So is that the Southern Comfort that I'm getting on the nose, do you think?
Yeah.
Ooh, wow.
Yeah?
That's nice.
Your new favorite?
I don't know if it's my favorite, but certainly...
Yeah.
I certainly like it.
Oh, wow. Holy cow.
Effervescent?
Mm-hmm.
Fruity?
Yeah.
It's an interesting mix.
Now, if you just gave this to me and you didn't say what it already was, I would just say this is a peach fizz, I would call it that, because I get a big hit of peach and a big hit of fizz off the champagne.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not going to call it that, because this is a good drink, and this is the Colonel's comfort, which it could be any... could be any... but... But we're going to keep it.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, Wow. Well done, Fred. My goodness, the partridge cocktail.
Oh, no.
All those pails.
Yeah. He's created a dynasty.
Should we give him a clap?
Thank you.
I'm sure everybody's listening. They're also clapping.
I'm sure.
If they were to make this, this is a nice drink.
Yeah. Mm. It worked out pretty good. Yeah. I think... Percentage-wise, it's probably got a little bit more of the sparkling wine than I would normally put in it.
I want you to do it.
I'm going to now adjust the recipe.
Because I think that gives it a nice little, an extra bit of fizz.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously it doesn't override the flavor because the peach still comes through.
Yeah.
Now, because that was a sweetened, sort of bottled peach, do you think that would be, is that a hair sweeter than what?
Oh, it would be, yeah.
Okay.
It depends on your peaches and your local market.
Right.
But, these are preserved peaches, they obviously mush up a little bit easier than a fresh peach.
Mm-hmm.
But I think a fresh one would probably have a little bit more of a flavor to it, so.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's going to be different, but, there's some good bones on that cocktail, so people can tweak it the way they like it.
Yeah, well, don't let them tweak it. If anybody changes a word of this...
I'll sue?
I'll sue! Yeah.
You heard it here, folks. I'm litigious.
Yes. Yeah. That is nice. Mm-hmm. It's and like a completely different thing from what the partridge cocktail is.
Oh, yeah. A bit different.
Yeah, no, it's a punch, and so it's a whole different realm. I said, it verges on the tiki. If I'd thrown a pineapple wedge on the side, maybe...
Mm-hmm. Or lime juice.
Or lime juice, yes. I think lime is what's missing to make it an official tiki drink. And so you could do that. I don't know if you did it with lime, how that would be.
Yeah. It's almost like I don't even want to declare a winner. It's almost like I want to say that they're both great, and you have the Colonel's comfort in the afternoon, and then when you're class up, when you get changed out of out of your Indiana Jones outfit and get into the tuxedo for night, then you drink the Partridge Cocktail.
Yeah. Well, the Partridge Cocktail, I mean, it's definitely got that boozy hit to it.
It's a boozy hit, but there's somehow something classy about, about the clarity and the construction of the Partridge Cocktail. Yeah. But I mean, this Colonel's Comfort is a big dose of fun.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Like you.
It's a party in the glass.
It's like having Jason at your party. It's just a big dose of fun.
I don't know about that. But well done, Fred.
Yeah.
In fact, I might say that yours is better than the Partridge Cocktail because it's got sweet and it's got fizz and it's got a bunch of other stuff going on.
A lot more ingredients.
It has, if you're judging by ingredients.
No,
more complicated, the better, I say.
Mm-hmm.
The better chance that nobody else has made one before. And what's missing is the maraschino cherry, because I forgot the cherries at home. But and what I did on the weekend was I had the cherry and then a peach slice on the little stick.
Right.
But that's just so that you can say you had something to eat while you were drinking.
Yeah. Because I don't know. I mean, a lot of garnishes sort of give off a smell or something. They're not just an appearance. However, the
maraschino.
The cloying maraschino. / maraschino cherry is sometimes really only for visual appearance.
That's right.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah, give me a little something to chew on. But, yeah. But, yeah, I don't know. I was thinking about maybe shooting a bit of bitters on this, but I wasn't, I thought I'd just stick with it the way it was for now and then tweak it over the holidays.
What, like orange bitters?
Oh, it seemed like that might be too much. I was going to try Peychaud's and see if that...
I don't think so.
Too sweet?
I don't think you need anything.
No?
No, nope, I think you're done.
All right, I got to make a new one then.
Yeah, make a new one, exactly. I think this is done. What are you, George Lucas? It's done!
No! Just leave it! I can do the director's version.
No, leave it alone!
The bartender's cut.
This is how you made it. Yeah. You can't continue to make the same movie.
Version 2.
No, nope.
You know, George Lucas, they talk about George Lucas, the great movie maker. Yeah, he's made wonderful. Like 3 movies.
Yeah. They're pretty great.
Oh, sure, they're pretty great.
Yeah.
But I mean, as a director, how many has he actually directed? He did THX
1138, yeah.
Right, which is a student graduate student film. Yeah. But we'll give it as a film. He did Star Wars. He did American Graffiti, Star Wars. Then what else? Howard the Duck? He direct Howard the Duck?
No. I'd have to IMDb.
He didn't direct Howard the Duck?
No, he didn't. I think it was Howard Deutsch that directed
Howard the Deutsch? Directed Howard the Deutsch. Duck? The Phantom Menace he directed.
He's produced quite a few different
He's produced. Yeah. Willow? Did he direct Willow?
No, that was Ron Howard. But he might have executive produced that.
Yeah, no, I think he got his fingers there. So his actual his vision.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
3, 4, 5 maybe, you know, given them the benefit of the doubt. And he's gone back to all of them and made them
better. Sure.
Sunset for Graffiti.
Yeah.
Han Solo stepping on Jabba the Hutt's tail in an expurgated scene from Star Wars.
Wow, Jason's on a rant. Yeah. He's taking us right off the booze and gone on to
him shoot second.
Who?
They had in the original he shot first.
Yeah.
And then they had him shoot
in self defense from Greedo.
I mean, he knew he was going to shoot him, so he should shoot him first.
I'm sure he should shoot him first.
Should shoot him first.
He is Greedo.
Yeah,
he's got greed in his name.
Exactly.
Anyway, you're right.
If you have any complaints, send them to Jason.Dedrick.
I'm not saying they're not all fantastic.
A gentleman of.
Or send them to George Lucas.
You probably just send them to George.
Yeah. George doesn't want to hear about any of this stuff because that's all people say to him.
Send him to Walt Disney.
Care of.
Yeah.
There was a thing with George Lucas, and I can't prove it to anybody. The only person that maybe would have seen it is Fred, and Fred didn't see it.
Mm-mm.
He doesn't claim to have seen it. Mm-mm. But as they were releasing, getting up to do nothing. Indiana Jones and the Crystal Skull thing, right?
Yep.
They would do these little vlogs. Mm-hmm. Vlogs? It was pre-vlog.
Yeah.
But you could go to either the Raiders site or one of those Indiana Jones sites, and you could watch videos, and they would update them. And it was Steven Spielberg sitting in a director's chair, and George, I think, was standing next to him, and was somebody else there? I don't think it was Harrison Ford. You see it, and I can't find it anymore online. But in it, they're talking about the thing, and then George suddenly pipes up and he says, people are going to hate this film. And Spielberg sort of turns to him like, no, they're not going to hate the film, George. Like, he'd already heard it 100 times from George. And he sort of had this kind of, nope, they're not going to like this film. They're going to have problems with it. And Steven tried to turn it around and spin it, and then George quieted him down. Yeah. But I can't find any record of this. But I saw it with my eyes. And George was right. People did not like that film as much as the other films. Even if the film had been perfect.
Dave's uncomfortable. Welcome to Gentlemen of Elegant Conspiracies. Jesus.
I'm sorry. The Kentucky Colonel. No, the Colonel's comfort is...
Colonel's comfort...
It's like a truth serum.
Yeah. Just anybody can find... You know what I'm talking about, people. There was a clip where George admitted that people wouldn't like the film. Because he knows how fickle the public can be.
Well, if you disappear, I'm going to know why.
Yeah, he sold it all to Disney.
I know, but that's even worse. Bum, bum, bum. Who we love.
Oh, yes. Love. Ruthless, but we love
him. Oh, sure. Kind, but cruel.
Kind. Cruel to be kind.
Yeah, so if you're going to have a taskmaster, Disney is the taskmaster.
Oh, sure. The ones I have.
I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen.
Hey, I think we're going overtime now. It's like the Oscars.
Jeez, I don't even know what I've watched. But I'm
really pleased with the way that came out. I think it was even better than the last time I made it, so I'm glad with that.
The film or the cocktail?
The film, also this film, The Making of Gentlemen of Elegant Leisure.
So when you give me the recipe to put online for people, throw in the whatever you think the extra amount of fizz might have been.
Yeah, no, I will. I'll do that. Yeah, no, I think because it did. I think it elevated it just a tad. You know what? Even better, just drink sparkling wine. I think that's really the what we're saying here.
If we've learned anything.
Yeah, just go get some Henkel Trocken, which is what I used. Not too sweet, which it's a little bit sweet, but not too sweet.
I was going to ask, that was my next question, because if you went with a Brut champagne or something, it's going to be a whole lot drier.
I think it would be better, because the other ingredients are so sweet.
Right.
The drier the sparkling wine, the better. You don't need to add sweetness, especially when you're adding that much grenadine. It's a half ounce of grenadine, which is a pretty good hit.
Right.
And make sure you get a good grenadine. Don't buy the cheap stuff that comes by the gallon.
No, exactly. There's a guy with the internet. You can make your own grenadine, and it would... be better.
Because what's grenadine made from, if I remember correctly?
Pomegranate.
Pomegranate, because that's the gene.
Yeah, good point. I don't know. It's probably somebody, like, did the Spanish call a pomegranate a grenadine?
Maybe.
You know what I mean? In this one, you got pure cane sugar as your first ingredient.
Of course. Who doesn't like that?
Water.
It's cane sugar.
Which you need.
Yeah, you need water.
Water is the building block of life. If you're watching anything about...
Yeah, stay hydrated. Whatever you do.
And then pomegranate juice concentrate, and then your usual blah, blah, blahs. But that's pretty good, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, look for pomegranate juice in your grenadine, because if it isn't there, it's something else.
When Dave and I went to Trader Vic's in Bellevue...
Mm-hmm. Washington.
Washington. Which lasted not... long enough, unfortunately. But Dave and I went down there one time for Dave's birthday. Was that your birthday trip that we went down there, or was it a separate trip? We went to Seattle, Bellevue area.
I'm over 50. My memory doesn't go back.
Goes back broken. To
the year of 40, like, age of 49, and then it stops.
Do you have any spare parts for a Dave coin? Yeah. Send them in, and we're going to try to
see if we can rebuild them.
Yep, we're going to monkey them back to 32.
So Trader Vic's in Bellevue.
Yeah, yeah. I bought... because they had all of the syrups behind the bar. They had the passion fruit, and they had the grenadine and stuff. And I bought grenadine and passion fruit. And literally, like a month later, they stopped making them with any trace of those fruits in them. And so I hung on to that passion fruit syrup like I was gold, because I didn't know if I was going to ever be able to...
And the Trader Vic's went out of business and that... that long.
Yeah,
and not only they stopped making the syrup, and then they went out of business.
Went out of business, sorry.
Yeah. Go to Abu Dhabi.
Yeah, that's right.
Or goodbye.
Portland Trader Vic's is gone.
Yep.
Bellevue Trader Vic's is gone.
Yeah.
I think it's only the original.
Well, the sort of original.
Sort of original. And
Woodinville.
No.
Emeryville. That's Woodinville.
Woodinville is in Washington.
No.
That's where wineries are.
Oh.
Woodinville.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's not, because I mean, the original is in Oakland.
Right, right.
And then it's located in San Francisco. But yeah. We'll give it to them. It's their flagship.
Yeah.
Even that one in Los Angeles that they built down by in downtown.
Yeah, down by Staples Center.
Yeah.
It's gone.
Vegas.
Gone. Mm-hmm.
Came and gone.
Yeah, it didn't even last a year.
And we got to them. That's what the crazy thing is. We got to them.
Yep.
Yep.
Now, they still have the poolside bar at the Beverly Hills Hotel, don't they? Beverly Hilton.
I think they do. I think they still have the Mai Tai bar there.
Yeah, the Mai Tai bar.
Just hanging on by their fingernails.
Yep.
Yeah.
Please, people, go there. Keep it alive.
Keep it alive. Jeepers, creepers.
Yeah.
Crazy. So, or go to Abu Dhabi, where they have Abu Dhabi. They're like Starbucks in the Middle East, but you can't keep one in the States.
That's right. Kitty corner to each other. So what do you think we're going to do next time? It's getting close to the festive season. Do we want to date these? We don't want to really say what time of year this is, do we?
No,
according to the last podcast, our episodes are supposed to be timeless.
Oh, okay.
They are timeless.
They are timeless.
But imagine if it was the holidays.
Oh, sure. I can imagine that. Sure. Even though it's so hot outside.
I'm doing a recipe, as I said earlier,
mm-hmm.
briefly, because it would make your dad furious.
Yes.
For an eggnog. But it's called a Michael Ruhlman, who has his own website, ruhlman.com, I think is what it is. And I've done his recipes of food before, and they're all great.
Yeah.
He knows what he's doing.
Sure.
Say hi to him if you ever see him. He lives in New York. I know, because he says so on his website. But it's called 30-Day Eggnog.
Oh.
So it's got 12 egg yolks in it.
I love it already.
And it's got cream, and it's got milk,
mm-hmm.
and it's got a hell of a lot of bourbon, a bunch of rum.
You had me at egg yolks.
And
egg
some
yolks.
Brandy. And the science of it is that the alcohol is enough to kill any bad bugs in it. And
right.
so you can actually age it. You could keep it longer in the fridge, and it gets gradually a little bit more funkier and interesting.
It's like avocado.
Sure. I don't know. He didn't say that.
Oh.
Maybe it is.
Okay.
But yeah. So, I mean, I've got that going. So we can have that. That's just ready to go. You don't have to mix anything with it because it's half booze.
Of course, they won't hear it until Easter. But, you know.
or they can wait till next year.
They can wait till next year.
Why is eggnog just for the holidays?
I used to have it all the time when I was a kid.
Did you?
Yeah.
Well, like you make it in the blender?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What? Nothing to stop you except your parents. If you get up before they do.
Oh. Did you put bourbon in yours?
Should have.
Right.
I don't think we had bourbon back then.
Because my mom made something for me that she called eggnog.
Yeah.
I don't know what it
was. That was just to put you to sleep.
That was bourbon.
That was bourbon, yeah.
That's right. And a mallet. I remember a large mallet.
My head hurt the next morning.
And then the lights went out.
Is it like egg and cream? Is that what you're saying?
It's like,
if
yeah,
you make one for a kid?
Yeah, no, the stuff that you buy at the supermarket at a festive time of year would be, you know, milk and eggs and nutmeg.
That's what we might have over the States here in our little corner of Canada, is because our Thanksgiving happens in October.
Mm-hmm.
They got to have eggnog on the shelves
for October.
Like
for 3 months.
Mm-hmm. 10th.
Yep.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, we have a pretty big eggnog season here.
Yeah, the eggnog window is quite large.
Mm-hmm. We have a huge eggnog window.
So, I've got some old eggnog recipes, like a sack posset or a frothy syllabub.
Are you speaking a different language?
I think he is.
Is that
old,
Latin?
Oldy English.
No, get the EpiPen. This is,
He's slurring his words.
It's either an Old English sack posset, which is milk and wine,
mm-hmm.
or you can make a frothy syllabub, which is sort of a lemony egg drink, which is counterintuitive.
Mm.
Have you had these?
Yep.
You like them?
They're all right.
You want to share them with the vast...
Oh, I want other people to have this.
That sounds...
You're going to have to tell us about your Tom and Jerry drink experiment.
We could do Tom and Jerry. Right. Yeah, the experiment and then the Trader Vic's version. Because
mm-hmm.
I don't know. Years ago, Dave sent me a recipe out of a magazine?
Let's call it a magazine.
Still, yeah.
If you're listening to this in the future, magazines were like a book, but smaller.
Yeah, that fits by saying years ago, a magazine. And it was a Tom and Jerry. But I won't tell the story now because I think you're right. We've got seasonal drinks ahead of us.
Maybe.
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 And we might just go for a lemonade.
Yeah, could be.
Because it's
be
so summer. Hot.
Yeah, it's so hot here.
Oh, Fred cut you off. Did you have something to... or were you going to say that, Tom and Jerry?
I was going to say Tom and Jerry, and of course, are we going to vote on this drink, or are we...
Well, you guys vote.
Let me finish drinking first.
And then I'm going to cast a deciding... No, because I like them both so much. I think I prefer Fred's fizzy fun drink, but I think you drink this in the afternoon, mm-hmm. and after 5, you move to the Partridge Cocktail.
I agree 100%.
What do you think?
I like the Colonel.
You like the Colonel?
I think sure. I'll go for the Colonel.
Fizzy, yeah. sweet, and fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's all I need.
That's right.
I take a very light step in life. I just need something fun and fizzy.
I think you married somebody like that.
I did. I know. Yeah. Fun.
Dave's life could be summed up as he's just waiting for the perfect wave.
Yeah, exactly. And a quote.
Oh!
Of course, we have to end with a quote from someone from history. Or someone living, but mostly from history so far.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see if you can guess who said this. Mm-hmm. Don't look. Don't look at my screen. Here's the quote. I have taken more out of alcohol than alcohol has taken out of me.
That sounds like... That sounds like Abraham Lincoln.
No. Not even
close. Benjamin Abraham Franklin. Lincoln.
You never even heard Abraham Lincoln. How can you say that?
No, that sounded just like him.
Did he even drink?
That's eerie.
Abraham Lincoln?
Yeah, no.
I would imagine so. I think even when you didn't drink back then, you drank a little.
Even water had alcohol in it. The horses used to drink alcohol.
You had to prove it.
What's the quote again? Sorry?
I have taken more out of alcohol than alcohol has taken out of me.
You're right. It does sound like a Lincoln. It sounds like a political quote.
I've heard it before.
Well, you're on the right path. Yeah. It's political.
Yeah, it sounds political.
But not Lincoln.
No.
FDR? Little more recent. In that era.
American?
No.
Oh.
Churchill.
Bingo.
Ah.
Fred gets it.
Yes.
Fred gets an extra helping of the Colonel's punch for getting that right.
That's right.
Always right.
Yes, Sir Winston Churchill. Wonderful.
Oh, Winston Churchill.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. I thought you meant Phil Churchill.
No, not your neighbor, Phil Churchill.
Oh, well, he's very verbose.
No, I'm sure he is.
The quotable Phil Churchill.
Phil Churchill, yeah.
Never before. Much alcohol given so much for so many.
Oh, shut up.
Yeah, good call. Yeah. The danger of the Colonel's comfort.
I think we've tired out the Mark Twain, and really we just have no more tolerance for personations of any historical figure.
Never before.
That's right.
So,
although but you have a killer Nero.
Really? Will you just play the fiddle?
That's right.
All right, well, that wraps it up, boys. This has been one of our longest. Of course, if we cut Jason's rant about George Lucas, we could get this down to about 20 minutes.
It wasn't even so much a rant.
No, stop it.
All right.
Stop it. We're almost at 50 minutes.
That's all right. Okay.
Okay. Well, but you know, if you go out and have a drink,
mm-hmm. like and, you parch-
and you should.
Because sometimes sometimes you hear us talking about drinking. Oh, sorry, Dave.
go ahead. Finish your thought.
He's got to catch a train, for God's sake.
Finish your thought.
No, give me the cue line.
I was going to say, if you get a drink like a Partridge Cocktail, or Fred's Punch.
And where might you get these?
Well, I don't know. The bar of your choice, probably. And you want to thank, because we're coming into the holiday season, you want to thank that person who makes you drink.
Of course.
What should you do?
You should be a gentleman of elegant leisure, and you should...
Tip big!